Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torture lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Tune for more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing this fine St. Patrick's Day Thursday evening?
Oh, damn it all to hell. I'm going back to Dublin. No, sorry. Let me apologize for that horrible imitation of an Irish accent. No, I'm doing good. You know what? I'm like having I'm having a heater lamp slice of pizza tonight. No Irish food for me. 2 years in a row I've been doing the heater lamp thing on St. Patrick's Day. We get a little pity party going. Happy to be here on the show, of course. And I do want to give a quick shout out real quick. I talked to a couple of really nice people last night when I stopped for dinner out in Illinois in Kickapoo. Exit 82 on I-74 there, the Jubilee Cafe. Wonderful couple. They've been married for 53 years. The owners of the place were actually in there. And, man, they do their food old school, you know, from scratch. And they allow truck parking in a dirt lot behind their place. And, of course, you know, those places are few and far between these days, you know, trying to get away from the corporate processed foods and find a place that, you know, will actually serve you up some home cooking. But I told him I'd give him a shout out tonight. I thought I'd do that real quick.
Well, good. I'm glad you did that. That's what it's all about, the people. This, you know, we should have named this the People's Radio Show, because we get on here and we say a lot of things every week. And a lot of things it's not completely agreed upon with all of our listeners, and that's okay. You don't have to agree with us. We have a guest call-in number. You can call in and share your opinion, even if we don't agree with you, as long as you do it respectfully. And let me give you that number right away, the guest call-in number. If you are listening through your internet and you, throughout the process of this show, want to call in and ask a question or share your opinion, you are more than welcome. We are completely uncensored, as long as you do it in a respectful manner. That phone number is 516-387-1733. And when you do get through, you just need to make sure that you press the number 1. That lets us know on our switchboard that you want to come live on air with me and the genius, Chris Bikerson, because he knows a hell of a lot more than I do. I'm just a guy with opinions. Chris has got facts to back his opinions up, and some of mine, actually, so it's kind of nice. But tonight, we have a spectacular radio show lined up for you guys, the listeners, the people. We're going to be talking to Jonelle. Jonelle Brooks was down at the People's Convoy. He went with Brian and Mike and Jerry and numerous others to the Capitol to meet with Senator Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson. And he actually got up and spoke. And he ripped the ass out of a Daily Beast reporter there that was being a dick. And rightfully so, he should have, because that Daily Beast reporter, he's a propagandist. In my opinion, I followed him on Twitter after that because I want to see what he's writing about the People's Convoy. Apparently, he did not have any material to write about except for the People's Convoy and try to put it down. So yesterday, one of the guys in the convoy, involved in the convoy, a little car got up to the right of him by his right front, his passenger side right front tire. If you're in a semi, you cannot see down to your right front, you know, tire. It's impossible to see a little car there. Well, that guy thought he would cut right in front of this truck driver, like right in front of him, right? Where there's no possible way he could have seen him. And so the truck driver was told that he can start going again, so he started going, didn't realize there's a car there, and apparently tapped the side of this guy's car. And the guy jumped out and was kind of threatening toward the truck driver. And I know who it was. I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not going to add fuel to the fire because the left is trying to discredit this if, with any means possible. So anyway, the guy comes up to the truck driver, and he's yelling and screaming. And he said, "Get your ass out of my way, or I'm going to push you out of the way." Because throughout all of this, we've been threatened with Antifa. We've been threatened with this. We've been threatened with that. And we don't know who these people are. They don't come up holding their ID saying, "Hey, I'm just a citizen." They just come up with their bullshit. And this truck driver did nothing wrong. And now the Daily Beast is trying to spin it. Truck driver hits car and then speeds away from accident. First of all, a truck driver doesn't speed away from anything. We got to shift gears. There is no speeding away from anything. Secondly, that car pulled over. I have no idea. But secondly, that car pulled off to the shoulder, and he pulled off to the shoulder and contacted the Metro DC police, right? And they just told him, "Get out of here." And so the truck driver, he took off, and so did the car. And then the truck driver called in that he'd been in an accident and now there's an accident report filed. And that's all been filed, but the Daily Beast wants to continue on with their bullshit of spreading propaganda and straight-out lies. So that's what's happening there. There's numerous other things happening. Lies, a lot of lies coming out of there by people that have actually been down there. And I see, Janelle, I got you on the phone. I haven't added you on yet. I will get to you in like 2 minutes, brother. But there's people on TikTok that are accusing the leaders of kicking people out without a warning, and they're corrupt, and they're this and they're that. Listen, these people are sharing one side of the story. They're not telling you what their social media actions have been. They're not telling you what their actions have been down at the People's Convoy. They're just telling you their side of the story. They're acting like victims. They create an issue or a problem and then act like victims because they have 20, 30, 40,000 followers on TikTok, and they think all of a sudden they're relevant when they've never really done anything in their lives, which, whatever, doesn't matter to me. But don't try to tear down a movement because you're being an asshole. And that's what's happening with these folks. They were being an asshole, and they were bringing negativity to the People's Convoy, and the People's Convoy higher-ups and security said, you need to go. Get out of here. And now they're butthurt, they're pissed off, and they don't want to take responsibility for their own actions, and they're gone. And now they're doing TikToks and acting like, I'm a victim. Okay, whatever. A bunch of that bullshit, and it's stupid. It's just dumb. But anyway, so tonight, everybody, I promised you that we would have Janelle on here. Janelle Brooks was down there at the People's Convoy with me. I met Janelle down there, and he went to the Capitol, and then he had meetings with Senator Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson. And afterwards, when he got on his Delta Airlines flight, he had a fuck Joe Biden shirt on, or sweatshirt. And as he was seated, he's got this all documented on video, that they asked him to please step off the plane. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to bring Janelle on right now and let him explain his story and let him tell you what actually went down and how it happened. Janelle, you are on live on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And first of all, let me just tell you, thank you so much for being here, brother. I appreciate you.
No, thanks for having me. You guys can hear me okay?
Yep, yep.
Okay, all right, there we go. Well, let's get it started. Thanks for having me. I'm excited, and I'm excited to talk to you guys for the next few minutes or whatnot.
Yeah, no, I've been talking to Chris about it all week, and I said, we got that guy to come on. He's going to come on with us, and I think he's going to get his voice heard, and that's what it's all about, is to get your voice heard. First of all, I want to mention a few things. Before we start, Janelle is an 18-year-old man, an 18-year-old patriot, and that's what I'm going to describe you as. I'm going to follow that up with, you are an 18-year-old black man, because I've heard so many people put this movement down as racist, and I want people to understand that this isn't about race, and I'm not going to make it about race, but I want to describe who you are, Janelle, because I appreciate you as an individual. Because I've met you face to face, and when I shook your hand, like when Brian Brazzi introduced me to you, you were smiles and you were like, "Hey man, how's it going?" I mean, you were just down to earth, and right then and there, I was like, "I like this guy," because you didn't try to portray you were somebody that you weren't. You just were honest and down to earth. So I appreciate that about you, John Allen. Let's just get right to it. I want to ask you, when you went as an 18-year-old man to Washington, D.C. with this group of fine people to meet with sitting senators, Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson, and you were walking up to those Capitol stairs, what was going through your head?
Honestly, nothing was going. I was just taking it second by second, honestly. I knew I was happy to be there. I knew I was really excited. I was you know, it was cool because I've always seen this stuff up on TV and movies, and, you know, coming from, like, a little small town in a valley, it's kind of like going to Disneyland for the first time. It was pretty cool, you know, being able to stay in the same room with the senators and being part of history was amazing. And if you ever seen the movie God's Not Dead, they just did a recent movie called We the People. And I was watching that movie months ago, way before the whole People's Convoy, and I was like, this is a beautiful movement. Like, they're protecting their First Amendment right, their freedom of speech, their freedoms, their American patriotic freedoms that they have and that we're blessed to have, and it's in Washington, D.C. And now, a few months later, I'm doing the same exact thing that took place in the movie God's Not Dead with the People.
Yeah. No, it is a beautiful movement. Explain to the audience how you got from where you were, where you're from. You don't have to give the city, just say the state, and how you got from that state all the way to D.C., and then we'll lead into what happened to you on your Delta Airlines Airlines flight on your way home.
Yeah, so honestly, I was only supposed to go to Arizona for one night and head back to California. I kind of talked about going to D.C. for a little bit, but it wasn't, like, for sure, you know, so it was, like, very last minute. I was only supposed to go to take pictures of a coalition out here in Southern California. And, you know, I enjoyed it so much the first day where I met somebody, and they're like, hey, do you want to come with me to D.C.? Like, would you want to ride with me to D.C.? And I was like, now? He's like, yeah. So at this time, I only had, like I said, a pair of, you know, one pair of jeans, three shirts, and a hoodie, and maybe, a, you know, some cash in my bank account. So this is, like, last minute. And next thing you know, I'm on the road in Arizona. And next thing you know, I'm in Texas. And, you know, I'm in Mexico. You know, I'm all over the country meeting beautiful people. And that's where everything kind of took off, from TikTok to social media. And that's how I formed my way into the publicity of the world as, you know, Kid Cowboy is what they call me.
They call you Kid Cowboy because you wear the cowboy hat all the time.
Yeah, so about that, my family is six generations from Wyoming. So I've always grown with the Western culture and my family and my blood. And when my dad passed away, I started ranching and I started getting into the ranch hand business. And you know, I started getting my boots dirty, saddling up and learning all about life. And that's kind of where my getaway was. You know, a lot of people who play sports have their getaway or there's music. And mine was pretty much just being around animals that I'm allergic to, taking care of them and just spending time with them. And, you know, that's how I learned early about life, was on a ranch. So.
Yeah. By the way, we have like a 1 second delay on this phone. So sometimes it sounds like either I'm interrupting you or you might be interrupting me or there's a little delay between, you know, so that, just so you know, is your microphone up of your mouth, Janelle?
No, it's not.
Can you put it closer to your mouth? I got messages that say that they can't hear you.
Okay, is it better?
There you go, brother. There we go.
Okay.
So
right,
your experience across... Yeah, your experience across the country. What would you describe the people's reactions and just their general demeanor all the way across the country? Because you started in California and literally went all the way to to Hagerstown and then to D.C.
Yeah. I'm a patriot from California, which is really rare, you know, especially be 18 years old, you know, and there's not that many people where you can just celebrate freedom every single day and fight for a cause that's being stripped away that needs to be fought for tomorrow. And being a part of a movement that allows you to celebrate your freedom every single day instead of just waiting for the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and, you know, these holidays, we're doing it every single day. They're still doing it today, you know. And being able to be a part of that made me feel at home, made me feel comfortable, made me feel happy. I've been the happiest I've ever been in a convoy. I've met so many great people who I will forever call family and friends in a convoy. And that's why it broke my heart when the reporter was asking, like, you know, he was trying to, like, ask if it was, like, a virus or whatever he said or whatever he said. And it hurt my soul because I've been from California, like you said, down to D.C., and I've been through the whole service that everyone has been through, you know, from gas price, from trying to get fuel, to trying to get food, to trying to get a hotel to sleep in for a night, try to stay warm, to helping everybody else out. You know, I was in those boots, you know. So for him to, you know, say what he said, that I got really emotional about it because I'm like, this is not the image that you're trying to put on it, you know. You're trying to twist it a whole different way when it's not true. And that's where I kind of put him in his place and told him we're out here fighting for everybody's life every single day, one way or another. It's pretty much what I was trying to say. So to answer your question, it was just a beautiful, blessed moment to be a part of history.
Yeah, and throughout that, Jonelle, you've undoubtedly made lifelong friends. You met the organizers. So many people, you know, and then I met you and Tyler Lee running for Congress in North Carolina, another fantastic human being. And you got the experience of your life at the young age of 18 years old to walk up and have a meeting with sitting senators that are serving this great country of ours. And I'm sure just that alone, you'll never forget that, obviously, because that's something that is unforgettable. I mean, it's a touching moment. And when I watched you on that video, you and Ron and Brian Braze and numerous other ones in there, and when that that reporter from the I don't even want to give him the Daily Beast, but he doesn't even deserve that name because he's a dick. But I seen what how
the Daily,
he was treating
the Daily
guys.
Dick sounds better.
Yeah, the Daily Dick. And that's what his name is going to be from now on. I'm going to call him the Daily Dick because he really acted like a dick. He was trying to spin a narrative right away. And he tried, and he still is, and he's still being the Daily Dick. And but you got up, and you got quite emotional. And I'll be honest with you, you know, some people are like, you can't talk like that in front of sitting senators. You can't. No, that's exactly how you should talk in front of people, because people see your emotions. They see that you're upset, and they want to know why you're upset. And you explained to the whole crowd there, including media, why you were upset. And you had every right to stand up the way you did and speak your mind the way you did and tell America enough of the bullshit, basically, and say exactly how you felt to that guy. And that guy deserved every second of every minute of what you said to him. He deserved all of it. So I, for one, commend you for doing what you did, Jonelle.
Thanks, brother. yeah, no, I was sitting in there, and I was talking to the buddy who was sitting on the left of me, and I was like, how do I talk? You know, so for about 20 minutes, I was trying to talk, and I was just trying to talk and get my point across. I was like, how do you talk in this thing? You know, I've never been in a Capitol. I never had to deal with press like this before. This is like my first time, you know. I've never been in a situation. And I was like, how do I do it? In my head, I'm like, how do I do it on TV? You know? And I'm still sitting in there. And on the inside, my blood is just boiling. My blood is boiling, and I'm anxious to talk. I'm trying to talk. Nobody's letting me talk. They're trying to move on to the next question. And after a while, that kind of just starts to build up on you, you know? And the only bad word I said was damn. People say I said, you know, use God's name in vain, but I was raised better than that, so I changed my word to God, you know? And I always change some of the vocabulary in my mouth. But anyways, so I was really stuttering when I was speaking because it was how I was feeling, you know. It wasn't made up or acting or skits, what people think or call it, but it was how I actually felt. And that's why you got the response that I got or that I given. You know what I mean?
And I remember calling you shortly after that and asked you to be on the show with us. And you remember the conversation I had with you? I said, you are now in a unique position to use your voice because people, they related with what you said. And the reason being is because they could see that you're genuine, just like I could see when I met you, that you're a genuine human being. And you used your voice in front of a sitting state senator, Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz, and it was all televised. And, you know, you said, "God damn," and you turned around after, before you finished, and said, and I apologize for my language to the ladies that are here. You were respectful. You were a gentleman the whole time. And like, I watch all this stuff. I observe everything. Excuse me. And how you handled yourself, fantastic, man. So don't ever throughout this process ever put your head down at any given time, because you're going to get a lot of negativity. And I've been through this stuff for 5 years now, when I started getting into the trucking advocacy aspect of it, and now I'm moving closer to more of the human rights and civil rights movement. I'm kind of switching gears, and it's a very tough process to go through, especially when you're a greenhorn, because we tend to look at the negativity, the negative comments, when in reality, you're looking at one negative comment and it makes your blood boil, but you're scrolling past the other 200 positive comments that are cheering you on. And I have slowly learned, I through this process, Jonelle, I've slowly learned that we have to just block out the negativity. Now, is there times that I react to it? I certainly do. I'm a human being, and sometimes you're just frustrated. You've just had enough because you're tired of these morons. But that's what they want out of you. They want that negative reaction to try to discredit you. And they've done that very well with me because I've reacted to them, unfortunately. What I told you on the phone and what I'm going to tell you now, Jonelle, is ignore the haters, ignore the negativity. Do not react to them, because that's exactly what will ruin you and your voice. I'll ruin my voice, and then I'll have to rebuild it up again. You have a fresh start to this. And I see what they're doing to you on TikTok right now. They're attacking your page. The haters are, and they're reporting your videos just like they do to me every time I get back on TikTok. As soon as I gain followers, bam, they're nailing my ass. So if you see the negative comments, I just go in and block them, because at this point in time, we're not going to change their mind. They're going to have to find this shit out on their own. We can't change everybody's mind. We're not going to save the world. We just have to keep on putting out the message that we are. And again, like I explained to you, you are in a unique position now where you have a positive voice, a positive message, and you can be an influence not only for people near you, but for the world. Are you ready, Jonelle? Are you ready for that task?
You know, everybody who I've talked to this week, I was raised on, with Jesus and God in my life, and I was always heard that God has a greater plan for you than you could ever imagine. And just 3 weeks ago, my big dream, my life goal dream is to just become a firefighter and have a ranch that I could go to when I get off work. And, have a few horses. That was just my dream right there. Nothing fancy, nothing crazy. I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to be, like, super rich. I want to be what somebody told me yesterday. It's called wealthy, where you're happy, where you could give back, That was my dream. Part of it, it still is my dream. But if God has a bigger plan that I can't imagine and can't even picture for tomorrow, and if that's my actual calling, then I am willing to take the calling, we see so many great movements in our history, like Little Rock Nine, you know, first African-American kids that actually helped, you know, end segregation in this country. They were about younger than I was, about 16 years old, if not younger. You have all these great American beautiful teams, not even just American, but all across the world now, who's trying to use their voice. And if I have to be one of those teenagers who's going to use my voice because of the way I think and because of my skin color to make a big difference in this world, I'm willing to take that sacrifice. So,
well, and the beautiful thing about that, Janelle, is that you have people like myself and people that you met through this People's Convoy that are willing to back you up. You know what I'm saying? We're willing to stand behind you while you portray the message that you're about to portray. And I think it's going to be a powerful one. And the reason I mentioned, you know, your race at the beginning of this is to basically shut the critics up and to help them understand that this movement, the People's Convoy movement, is not about race. It's not about who you voted for in the last election, even though some people have made it that way. That's not the general message being portrayed by the People's Convoy itself. Everybody has the right to fly a Trump flag if they want, but they also have a right to fly a Biden flag. Even though I don't like it, it doesn't matter. That's okay. I don't have to like it. I also have the option to look past that, and just like they do. But I have noticed in the last, I don't know, since the People's Convoy started really gaining momentum, the haters, the people that think they know what this is about, have come out of the woodwork to try to discredit this and keep on saying, oh, they're just driving around in circles and wasting gas. And they're, you know, they're using the same talking points of Kamala Harris. They're being hurtful to the climate. And, you know, and every one of them that are saying that are literally buying shit off the shelves of the grocery stores, going to get gas. Everything they use in a daily's life, or in their daily life, has literally come off of a truck, and they still have the audacity to put these people down, and the same people that are standing up for their rights and their freedoms, also for their rights and freedom to criticize something you don't agree with. But it is disheartening, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, wouldn't you say?
You know, yeah, and it's crazy because you were talking about that, and I'm going to make it clear. I live here in California. I live 2 hours outside of Los Angeles, which is probably one of the most democratic cities in the country. And I see a lot of things that I don't like on a daily. I can walk down the street, see a Black Lives Matter flag, still walk down the street, don't say anything, you know. Because at the end of the day, the flag that's going to be flying the highest is the American flag, and that flag gives us the freedom of speech, freedom of press, and the freedom of religion to believe in and think whatever you want to think and believe in this country. Well, at least the last time I checked. You know, it's the First Amendment in our U.S. Constitution that says that we have the freedom of, you know, the freedom of speech. So there's a lot of things that I see in this country or that I see in my area that I don't personally like, that I don't agree with. You know, abortion ads or, you know, Black History Month ads, you know, or whatever it is, that some stuff that I don't agree with, you know, I don't say anything because it's you know, it's public. They have the freedom to express how they feel. And all I'm just want to be treated, all I want to do is just be treated the same way that I treat them.
Right, and that's exactly how I know you when I met you, like straight up, man. Like I'm 6'6". I'm a bald white guy with a long goatee, and I wear Harley shirts most of the time. You know, people look at me and they're like, "Oh yeah, he's racist." I'm the furthest thing from a racist that you'll get. Like I love everybody, man, and no matter who they are, but. But that's today's society because of the media and our politicians. Our politicians, and I hate saying it this way, but 90% of them in office, especially in Congress, are ruining this country because they refuse to grow a pair of balls and stand up and do the right thing. They're following their party lines, and they're following their popularity, and they're following, well, I want to get reelected. listen, asshole, it was never an intention from our forefathers for you to become a career politician like Joe Biden. The intention was that you serve the people, your constituents, the ones that trusted enough into marking that X on that voting ballot for you to represent them in Washington, D.C., and at a state level also it happens. Everybody's so worried about their reelection that they won't stand up for what's right. And because, oh, well, then my sponsor or the guy that's lying in my back pockets ain't going to give me money anymore. How do you feel about how the politicians are acting towards the People's Convoy? I know there's some that have reached out, but do you question their intentions of why they reached out? Do you think they have good intentions? Because I know you talked to Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson personally. And my opinion, Ron Johnson is, I think he's on the up and up. I really do. I think he's being roadblocked at every corner he goes into. But Ted Cruz, I'm not sure about. I met Ted, took a picture with him, but I'm still on the fence with the guy. I'll be honest with you. So what's your thoughts, Janelle?
So let me make this clear first. Me and politicians, I mean, I could care less about. My big focus is the people, honestly. I've always been that way. I've always done things for first responders, you know. My life revolves around first responders, you know, from doing photography for the families or just doing certain things around them, and even just, you know, volunteering in my own community, you know. But from growing up, I've heard, you know, I've always heard of Ted Cruz, and I've watched Ted Cruz as a little kid on TV with my dad, you know, from watching CNN to Fox to whatever it is. You know, I've seen these guys on TV before. And even now, I will watch Ted Cruz, and I know him. I know his language, and I know the way he will react to a reporter. So when, like, when the reporter was asking him some dumb questions, and he's like, no, I got this. I got a big grin on my face because I was like, I know exactly where this is going to go. And that's when, you know, Ted Cruz was like, the hell with. And he just continued, you know. So I was already expecting that. Honestly, politics is politics. It could go left or right. Some people could do it for publicity. You know, a lot of politicians do it for publicity. But one thing that I noticed about Ted Cruz is the very next day, two days later, he rode out in a convoy, you know. And being a politician, I feel like you should be involved, and you should show your support, and you should try to make the people know what side you stand and whose side you stand on. Because at the end of the day, A, that could get you a vote. B, that could get you an office where we could, you know, start to build for the people, if that makes sense. You know?
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. So if he's in office now he can start working for the people, if that makes sense. And that's
yeah, no, absolutely it does.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just – I'm agreeing with you. I think you're on track with that. One question I have for you, you know, talking about politics, the fact that we have every politician that has reached out to us thus far has been Republican. Every one of those politicians that they've tried to talk to, for the most part, that have turned us down are Democrats. That should pretty much tell everybody in the country the partisan divide in D.C. involving Senate and Congress. It's not good. The fact that the Democrat candidates, or not candidates, but politicians, won't even have a discussion with us, with the People's Convoy. That's not okay. A discussion should always be had, no matter who or what you are involved with or what group you're involved with. And the fact that some of those congressmen that they approached didn't even know that the People's Convoy even existed. That's how out of touch they are with what's going on in their own country. they're being influenced by special interests and big money. In my opinion, I don't even know if it's my opinion anymore. I think it's been proven fact, but I'll call it my opinion, just so I don't have a lawsuit on my hand. But what are your thoughts on that, Janelle? That Democrats aren't reaching out the way the Republicans are.
Well, that's another thing. They see how divided this country is, and that's why they promote all of this stuff. That's why we notice, like, all of this stuff, like Black History Month, is being promoted more and more and more and more and more. Not saying that Black History Month is just for Democrats or Republicans, but it's just because they start to see the divide. And as soon as, like, good example, as soon as the next African-American innocent, quote-unquote, innocent African-American man gets killed at the hands of the police, mark my words, the news will automatically leave from the war in Ukraine and focus on that story. But, yeah, they're not going to focus on the story of the People's Convoy. And it's because they're trying to show that this country, because this country will get divided in a matter of minutes of that story airing. We've seen it, you know, with George Floyd. We've seen how crazy and how hectic that got. And now,
yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, they're just going to use excuses like that. So it's even Democrats and Republicans, they play the same game. But the ones that's actually trying to rebuild this country, like, good example, Larry Elder, you know, he fought his, excuse my language, he fought his ass off to get into the, you know, California Capitol. To the state capitol. But you have Democrats who are so against him because he's a Republican. But yeah, if you go back like 10, 15, if you go back before Obama, everybody's like, we need more Black politicians. That's all he said is, we need more Black politicians. You know, now that we have Black politicians that's coming out as conservative or Republican, it's a whole crime. They're Uncle Tom's, they're Coons, they're this and that, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, Larry Elder is from Los Angeles. He's from the hood, you know. He has a story just like how we all do, just like a similar story to mine. We're coming out and we're seeing how it actually is in this country, and we want to do better. But they're just trying to keep us divided. And it sucks go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jonelle.
It just sucks because when you're, like, I can't walk down, I can't go to the ranch and walk into the grocery store and this happen with someone to come and offer Tom and look at me funny because I'm just an African-American cowboy. I have nothing political on. I have nothing, you know, on. It's just a whole stereotype that's been built into our country to just automatically racist, Uncle Tom, Coon, blah, 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 blah. Or have you ever asked me about, you know, you never even talk to me. You just look at me. That's how it is now, like how you said. You're just a white, bald biker. Automatically, you're the Klan. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's how the Democrats
exactly.
Set up this country. That's how even Republicans want it like that, you know? But it needs to get escaped from the media and from the suits and go into the people. And that's where we need to really – we need to just take this whole country back. If it was up to me, we should all just unite and just raid the Capitol. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't.
Oh, hold on a second. The FBI is calling me. They want me to shut my radio show down.
But my point is.
No, you're trying to get me in trouble, man.
If the people just do what we did before 1776, we left, you know, England and we came here, we fought for our bare grounds, for our freedoms, I think maybe we could be united again. Maybe, just maybe. You know, we did all throughout
you know,
history.
Man, I'll be honest with you. I really, truly believe this in my heart. After meeting you and just your personality, you're down to earth and you're honest and you're just, you're passionate. You honestly, and I mean this, you could be the start of a second civil rights movement with people that you've met through the People's Convoy to start a whole other movement beyond the People's Convoy to try to unite people. I know it's a little late in the game because of how divided we are and all the propaganda that we get through media and through politicians, but I've always said if you can lead by example and you can show what you truly are, what you really are, then you can make change. And I've tried that in my own life, and I have done numerous things that I don't want to sit here and talk about because it's not about me. But I see it in your eyes, I see it with your actions, and I see it with your words and your passion. And I think that you honestly could do something. I think God really truly does have you here for a reason. And that's why I told you on the phone the other night, whatever voice you decide to use, I'll back you 100%, without a doubt. But I really do believe that you can do some great things in this world, my friend. I really, truly believe that.
Thank you. I know one of the big things that I want to get started here as soon as possible is I want to start something where, you know, any teenager can come in California and be part of the community where, you know, because we're young adults and we're just now getting into this world. And I remember being in high school and just being a patriotic teenager alone, you would sit alone at school. You wouldn't have enough friends because you stood for the national anthem. You were the only one who did these certain things. But I honestly want to do a focus on minority teenagers, young adults here in California, where they can have a place and an outlet to be who they are and know that they're not just the only Mexican or Black or Asian, whatever you are, that believes these certain values. And I feel like that's one step closer because then they can start telling their friends. And I could, you know, I remember one time I went to Los Angeles to do some street photography, and this guy had a police shirt on, and I had a whole thing Blue Line shirt on. And we were walking up these stairs in downtown L.A., and we both looked at each other like we broke our neck. We were looking at each other. And I had my hand near my knife. I was like, I don't know what this guy's going to do to me. Come and find out, we sat there for 2 hours, and we had a long conversation, a long, long conversation about everything. I told him my experiences. He told me about his experiences. And we were both 18, 19 years old. Why can't our politicians do that? You know what I mean? So there is a lot of youngsters out here in California that wants to express their values and their beliefs, but that just can't because of where they live, you know?
Yeah, they're being influenced by the media.
Exactly. Social media is the biggest one, you know? As, like I said, like the example I used earlier, if some unarmed African-Americans, you know, get shot by the police mall, being innocent or not innocent, that will flood social media like crazy. God forbid it happens,
but we've
seen it before.
It's just like, you know, Russia and the Ukraine thing. Now, everybody's flying their Ukraine flags as their social media profile pictures. I support Ukraine. They don't even know why the hell they support Ukraine, except they've been told to support Ukraine. They have no idea what's going on there. And I'll be honest with you, I don't either. That's why I'm not putting on any profile pictures that I support Ukraine or I support Russia. They're being told what's going on there by the media when we all know that the media is corrupt as hell. There is a group of us that sat down in Constitution Avenue in 2020. We had over 200 trucks there at any given time for 3 straight weeks. Not once did mainstream media cover us. Not once. So that was my eye-opener. That I was a Donald Trump hater, dude. I hated Donald Trump. You know why? Because the media told me to. And after that experience down there, I realized that I was being lied to. You know why I realized that? Because they wouldn't cover us for the right reasons. When we were down there for the right reasons, they wouldn't cover us. And I realized the only time that anybody from CNN or anybody come over was when Donald Trump was in a Rose Garden, and we were all honking our air horns, and it was loud. They couldn't even hear him. And they're like, what is that? He's like, that's the truckers. They're here to support me. And just off of that statement alone, which he wasn't telling the truth either, but he also knew, I think, that they would send the reporters over to us to try to discredit him. And it worked like clockwork. I mean, they come over right away. Are you guys here to support Donald Trump? And we're all like, most of them there supported Donald Trump, but we're like, no, we're here for trucking industry regulations. And you know what their headline was? It wasn't that we were sitting down there. It was Donald Trump says truckers are in Washington, D.C. to support him, and he lied. That's all he did. They tried to discredit him rather than picking up the real story and trying to find out the truth. Today's media and journalists are nothing other than liars. They try to feed you a narrative that I don't know where they're getting that narrative from, but I'm assuming from higher up in, on the federal level, and I think that's a pretty good assumption. And special interest group, big pharma, large corporations, they're feeding the media a certain narrative, a certain agenda. And you notice when Russia invaded the Ukraine, COVID literally went away. And now, all of a sudden, Fauci pops his head up out of the gopher hole and says, we might have to reinsert the COVID restrictions because a new strain was found in Hong Kong where they're bringing people to concentration camps. They call them COVID recovery camps. But that's a line of bullshit because ivermectin and hydrochloroquine are proven treatments for this along with zinc. And that's the narrative they're trying to push now. And you could start seeing the mainstream media pick that up. They're like, oh, shit, yeah, we forgot about we got to keep these guys scared about COVID while we cover the Russian-Ukraine thing. Makes me question, is the Russian-Ukraine thing on the up and up like they say they are? It is. So I don't know, man. It's insane. But I watched your video. You documented your whole video of your Delta Airlines flight where you walked into an airplane with your mask on and you had a sweatshirt on that said, fuck Joe Biden. Or did it say fuck Joe Biden or say fuck Biden?
No, it says fuck Biden.
Yeah, so it said fuck Biden. Okay, so as a free American, you paid for a plane ticket. As far as I know, Delta does not have any regulations or rules about what is on your clothing attire. They asked you, why don't you just go ahead and tell me from the very beginning, when you boarded that flight, what your experience was to after you were told to leave and you had to exit that flight?
Alrighty, so to make it more juicy, I will tell you guys, you know, from the beginning of the journey where I first got on in Nashville. And I'm walking through TSA, you know, and there's different people because, you know, when you have political opinions, you notice things like, oh, somebody's hoodie or somebody's shirt or whatever stands right. You notice it, of course. So, you know, I'm reading it. The TSA actually has a mask on that says BLM. I'm like, respect that, you know. You know, I respect that. But then I get on an airplane, and a flight attendant says, this was, you know, in Nashville. And the flight attendant says, you know, I love your hoodie, but, you know, I couldn't say it for the passengers. I love your hoodie. And show that to my captain. He will love it. So I go show the captain. I'm walking up. The captain's right there. He's like, dude, I saw you before. It's like, yeah, probably yesterday in the Capitol. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And then next thing you know, I was like, well, he goes and says, I love your hoodie. Can I take a picture? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So, you know, with his phone and my phone, we both take the pictures. And I didn't know how crucial that picture was going to be until I got into LAX. But I took a picture, me, him, the captain, and the flight attendant. All three of us take a picture. And they do work for Delta. So now we land in New York, and I'm going to the next gate, which is to LAX. So from New York to LAX. I'm sitting in the airport, JFK. Nobody says anything. I'm talking to people while we're waiting for our flight, blah, 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 blah. And I'm standing in the line, you know, now we're boarding. It's my turn. And I'm talking to a flight attendant. She takes my ticket. She's like, thank you. Have a good day. So you would think at that time and at the location at the gate where if it's a big policy or even before, hey, you can't board our airplane with that hoodie on. It's going to cause some disturbance. If they went out that way, I would have been like, you know, I totally respect that. Let me take this off and put on, you know, some other jacket or whatever, or, you know, just deal with it until I got to LAX. Nobody said anything. So I proceeded to board the plane, and as I'm going through first class, some guy comes up and says, you know, that's disrespectful to me. I was like, what? He goes, I voted for Joe Biden, so are you trying to tell me to fuck you? And I was like, you can read, right? Well, if you can read, then I guess this applies to you then. He goes, well, that's disrespectful. I was like, well, there's nothing I could do. Just like how you have the freedom to, you know, vote and tell me your opinion, it's the same freedom that's allowing me to wear this hoodie. I put my earbuds in, and I proceeded to find my seat. I did sit down. And next thing you know, this male flight attendant comes up and says, excuse me, sir, we're going to have to remove your hoodie. A passenger is being disturbed by your hoodie. And I'm like, okay, I just had one long 3 weeks, and I see how this day is going to go. And I was like, wait a second, can you restate that again one more time for the camera, please? And he's like, no. He's like, we're not going to do this today. I'm going to go get a red coat. It's like, red coat? That's what brought us to this country. Go get a red coat. But you know what I mean? I made a joke, you know, with the whole red coats and the whole, you know, Boston thing. And next thing you know, they come back, the lady with the red coat, and she goes, sir, that's when I started recording. Sir, you're going to have to remove your hoodie, blah, 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 blah. And that's where I was like, don't I have the First Amendment? You know, am I not in the United States of America where I should have the First Amendment? And that's pretty much where you see all of the videos.
Yeah, and I. So tell the audience, because a lot of the audience don't have TikTok, and there's some of them don't. And before you do that, let me just do something here. If you guys are listening and you want to call in and you want to get on and you want to ask Janelle a question or you want to share your thoughts on anything, you are more than welcome to call in. I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you're not respectful, we do have shaky phone lines, and your call probably will get dropped. So that phone number, though, write this down. It's 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just press the number one. That lets us know that you want to get on with John L. and ask your question. And, again, just be respectful. We can differ in opinions, and we can have a discussion. And that phone number, again, is 516-387-1733. Okay, so to get on with what we were talking about, John L., was, did I hear through that conversation that you were recording that she said something about a no-fly list, or was that my ears playing tricks on me?
No, you heard correctly, and that's where, because I heard the first time, I heard her say it, but then that's when I wasn't recording, I was like, wait, what did you say? And then she proceeded to say it again. So that's when, you know, you heard a little like, whoa, it was like in the back. Like, you know, whoa, did she just really threaten me with a whole no flight list? And, yeah, so to answer your question, yes, she did. She did answer, or she did ask that question.
She said if you didn't remove your sweatshirt, your hoodie, that you would be
right.
Placed on a no fly list if you were going to argue about it.
Right, yeah. At first, she said, sir, you were going to have to remove your hoodie. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't have to remove anything. And she's like, come on to the flight bridge, whatever that thing is called. And I was like, I'm not getting up anywhere. You know, you don't have the right to tell me what I can wear and what not to wear just because of your political ideology or your political opinion. If you're going to get butthurt about it, then get butthurt about it. You know, I got to be getting butthurt by dealing with the situation. So that's what I was feeling. So she proceeds and says, well, sir, if you don't flip your hoodie inside out, then we're going to have to, you know, you're going to go on a no flight list and you're going to get escorted off by police. And I was like, okay. So she left, goes to the captain, and this is where I called Brian. And if it wasn't for Brian, I probably would have been dragged off the airplane because I wasn't going to take it off. But I called Brian. I was like, I need some great advice right now. Who do I call? I called Brian. I'm like, hey, Brian, I'm getting kicked off the airplane. They're like, what? They're like, yeah, what do I do? They said, take off the hoodie or I could get kicked off. And he was like, well, you know, you got to get home, kid. You know, you've been, it's been a long few weeks. So just get home, take off the hoodie, get home. It's like, you know, he has a point. I didn't think about that. So next thing you know, I take off the hoodie, which is in the next deal. I took off the hoodie and I sit back down. And as I'm proceeding to sit back down, she comes up to me and says, the captain still doesn't want you on an airplane because you're not wearing your mask. And I was like, are you kidding me? Going back to the video, you could see me taking off my hoodie and my mask falls off as I took off the hoodie. So then, you know, the next video, you see, or in the same video, you see me going, sitting back down. I was like, don't talk to me because if you talk to me, it's going to be recorded and you're going to get sued. So now I'm squeezing my way through back onto the airplane or back to my seat. I sit down, and as I'm putting the mask on, as I'm putting it on, as it's like literally the same loop, she comes back. So I slowly drop it, pick up my phone, start recording, proceed to put back on the mask. And then that's when she starts to say, because if you're not wearing your mask and, you know, you're not complying with your hoodie, the captain is asking you to still be removed from the airline. And I was like, wow.
You weren't on a Delta Airlines flight. You were on Air Force One, and I think Joe Biden was the captain. He must have pissed him off.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised he could actually read my hoodie.
I tell you what, I watched your videos on TikTok. I went through them all, and I was like, you know, I had somebody message me right away when I come out and said that you were going to be on the radio show through Twitter, and they're like, why are you going to have him on? He was acting like an asshole, and blah, blah, blah. I said, listen, everybody has the right to tell their side of the story. Just because you see the video and you thought one way doesn't mean that something else didn't actually happen. And I don't cater to people with their thoughts or their opinions and say, well, I don't like that, so... Listen, if you don't like it, unfollow me. I don't give a shit. I'm not here for a fucking popularity contest. I've said that from the very beginning. And sometimes, can I get vulgar? Yes, I can. And thank God for Unplugged Radio for giving me this platform. And you met Taylor down there in Hagerstown. He's responsible for giving me this. And I'm not going to say his last name because he's asked me not to say his name too much. But it's because of people like him that see the truth that I'm trying to speak and spread that give me platforms like this that I'm able to have somebody like you on to share your story and share your side of the story, which I think is important. And now the world heard your side of the story. And they'll have to distinguish what's right and what's wrong. And
Sorry to cut you off. I know how we're talking about free speech. Guess what just happened right now?
What?
I was going live on TikTok, and they just banned the live stream for the whole talk right now, as you speak.
Welcome to the club, brother.
As you speak, I'm so sorry about that, to cutting you off, but go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
No, you don't have to apologize. I'm glad you did, because I've been banned on TikTok 5 or 6 times. I've been banned on Facebook permanently. I'm not banned off of Twitter yet, but I'm back on TikTok, but that's going to be short-lived. I get banned and censored on everything I'm on because I don't stop, and I don't cater to the censorship. I don't cater to the narrative, and I certainly don't cater to tyrants that think they're going to tell me what I can and can't say, similar to like you being kicked off a Delta Airlines flight for wearing a hoodie. Okay, so it says fuck Biden on it. Well, if it said fuck the Kool-Aid man, would they benefit as offended? Would they kick you off then? You know, but they didn't. You know, if you had a fuck Trump shirt on or a sweatshirt, I guarantee you wouldn't have had the same result. There's a double standard in this country, and it's sickening. And the left, they all claim, oh, we're here to help people, and we love people, and we just want better for humanity. Meanwhile, they act like fucking Nazis. The way they act, Justin Trudeau in Canada, the Democratic leadership pretty much everywhere across the world are nothing but authoritarians. And then you have their goons called Antifa that threaten people, including me, including Brian Braze. I got a picture of my license plate on the back of my Cadillac sent to me while I was at the hotel down there and being threatening. We know where you're at. We got your picture. So they were there. His goons were. And they claim to be anti-fascist. Meanwhile, they act exactly like a fascist would act. I've said it numerous times. It's George Orwell, 1984, all over. Like, normal becomes, or wrong becomes normal, and everything is backwards. And that whole network of people will go and beat the shit out of an elderly couple because they're walking down the street enjoying their freedoms, but yet scream, "We're anti-fascist." Okay, you fucking Nazis. That's what you are. That's what you're acting like. That's exactly what history has taught us. But it's very apparent that they have never read one history book. It's obvious. But those of you that are listening, let me just put this out there again, because since we have Jeanelle on here, I want you guys to have the opportunity to call in and have a discussion with Jeanelle or myself or whoever. I'm going to give Chris a chance to ask some questions here after I get this message out. That phone number, and may I remind you before I share that phone number, you get on here, you got to be respectful. You can ask a question that, you know, maybe a hard question for Jeanelle or myself, but you're going to do it respectfully. If you get on here and start screaming, "You're a dumb motherfucker," or something like that, our phone lines, we have censorship phone lines where if you're going to be a dick, we're just going to cut you off. But you can, I will put anybody on as long as you're respectful. And that phone number is 516-387-1733. And you have to remember, once you get through, you have to press the number 1. If you don't, I don't know that you want to get on. So call the number 516-387-1733, and we'll put you on. And I see, I know you met Lee and Lisa Schmidt down there. I see Lee wants to get on here and talk to you. Before I do that, though, I want Chris an opportunity, you know, for a little bit here to ask you some questions, if you don't mind. Chris is my co-host. He wasn't down in Hagerstown, but he's certainly on our side. So, Chris, I'm going to give the floor to you for a few minutes, and when you're ready to pick up Lee's call, just go ahead and introduce him and do your thing, brother.
All right. Excuse me. Will do. Well, you know, I didn't get the chance to meet you, Jeanelle, but I better pass along. You know, my wife texted me while I was sitting here, and she wanted to make sure that I let you know that she's damn proud of you, and she used that damn word too. I know that's like a big daunting word to use these days, apparently, but she's damn proud of you for standing up to the media the way you did. And, you know, I sit here and I was listening to some of the things that you were saying, you know, about how they shut down, was it Leroy Elders there in California and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they literally called him the black face of white supremacy. And several episodes ago, Jeremy and I talked about this, where we brought up the fact that the message that you get from the left is very clear in regards to that, where they say that, you know, we have to start listening to more black voices, but at the same time they say, but not those, you know, don't listen to Curtis Jackson, you know, 50 Cent, you know, don't listen to Kanye, you know, don't listen to Candace Owens, don't listen to Leroy Elders. You know, it's like we have to listen to more black voices as long as those black voices agree with the rich white guy that's in charge of the country. And how hypocritical is that, you know? But you're right. And I love hearing what you had to say about, you know, the group you're putting together there to let more kids, teens, and especially the minority ones come out and be who they are, because you're right, they've got everybody compartmentalized. The left has come along and said, okay, well, you know, everybody belongs in their own little compartment, and, you know, black people, you have to vote for Democrats, and you Latino people, you know, you have to vote for Democrats too, you know, and if you're rich and you're white and you're from a city, well, you have to be a Democrat, you know, but if you're from the country and you disagree with the Democrats, then you have to be put over here in the compartment of white supremacist, domestic terrorist Trump tards. Because if you disagree with anything we say, even if you didn't support Trump and didn't vote for Trump, they still put you in that compartment. And that's the way the left plays. Everybody has to be divided up into their own little compartment, and that way, and be told. They have to be told, hey, this is the compartment you belong in. You need to fall in line with what we command that you people in your compartment do. And when people get out of line and start saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I kind of have my own thoughts and opinions, despite whatever group you lump me in with, this is my opinion, and it's different from what you're expecting, you know, I mean, they lose their minds. So you're a very brave young man, definitely impressed with your take on things, and, you know, you really stepped out there, you know, and only having a few dollars in the account and only a couple days worth of clothes and being like, all right, you know what, I'm going to join this convoy and go all the way across the country. So bravo for that. And,
thank you.
Yeah. You know, man, and question wise, I think Jeremy kind of covered any question I would have had. What was the feeling you had when they told you, you know, well, the captain says you got to go?
I was like, so some stranger who doesn't know me, who can't even have the balls to come up and talk to me, he's going to kick me off an airplane. That's what I thought. That was one of the first things I thought. But
I like it. Wow. The funny thing is, I mean, it would seem like the bigger story for the media to run with would actually have been that you were a part of the convoy and got kicked off a flight. But, you know, the thing they chose to run with was your skin color and that you got kicked off a Delta flight. That one kind of, I guess, worked out in the convoy's favor, because, I mean, man, that would have fit right in with the narrative, you know, that the convoy people are a bunch of domestic terrorists getting kicked off of flights for being unruly passengers and everything else. But I don't know, maybe after the Leroy Elders thing, they figured out that trying to sell the narrative that black people are white supremacists just didn't work out that well for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I called somebody, goes like, dude, you're the black face of white supremacist junior, whatever. And I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh man. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and bring Lee Schmidt on here and to see what question he might have for you. So. I'm pretty sure I memorized the last four digits of this number, and it's not Lisa. I think this is actually Lee. But, all right, bringing you on now. Lee, you are on
yep.
the air.
Yes, it is me. You do have the number memorized.
I wasn't making
evening.
A mistake.
And I want to I'll tell a short story, and I want you to listen to it, and there'll be a question at the end of it. We started in New Mexico, and we were hesitant about joining. And after coming across and watching all the patriotism and the outpouring of love from everybody, every walk of life, every nationality, every color of skin, that everybody in this country in the path that we took was relying or putting all of their hope in us to do something. And we spent 20, so we were there for 22 days. And in that 22 days, at no time did I see or feel any racism, bigotry, nothing but love and outpouring of hope from everybody in the donations and the food and the overwhelming support from everybody we met. And I hope that this continues. And I guess my question is, did you feel the same thing? Because we have left now, and my wife has been sitting here replying to people all day long on Messenger and crying as we're driving down the road and telling me stories of all these people that it was a totally different thing I thought was going to happen. I thought when we left, people were going to be mad that we left, but, you know, I've got things I've got to get home and do. We didn't want to leave. And you're still getting the outpouring of support from everybody that we've never seen. And I don't know if I'll ever see it in my life again. And I hope you get the chance to see it again, because obviously you're way younger than me. But what do you get out of this?
What I get out of it is memories. That's the biggest uptake that I could take out of it, you know? Like I said, I've met so many beautiful people, and I've seen so, so many beautiful smiles. Those are the two biggest things that I've taken out of it. And because, you know, for the last 3 years, they maxed us up where we can't see people's smiles. You know what I mean? And I remember the very first thing that I hated about the face mask was that when I would be in public and I would be smiling, because I smile at people, they wouldn't notice, and it would be so awkward, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's one of the big reasons why I hate it and I stopped wearing a mask, is because people should know
yeah.
your expressions. And being in a convoy,
right.
we've seen that face-to-face with people. We've seen everybody's smiles. And I've got so many beautiful pictures in my head that runs through daily of them smiling. And I feel like the biggest thing that I've taken on is to know that everything that the news portrays is not as it seems. You know, that's why I said what I said. They call it white supremacist, racist, KKKK. But if that was so true, why would I be right now on a radio show? Wouldn't I be
right.
hung from a tree right now? Like, if we're going to speak
right.
facts, if we're going to speak literal democratic facts, I should be hanging up by some tree right now. There should be some fire right now. I should just be stripped in a forest right now down in the South. If we're going to call it what it is, let's call it what it is. But it's not. That's not where I'm at right now. I'm at home right now, you know, speaking freely on behalf of, you know, right now, on behalf of the people of Congress, because those are some great people out there that needs to be told the truth or let the truth be heard truthfully.
And everybody there is trying as hard as we can. So, but I'm glad I got
exactly.
to meet you. So, and I know you are going through Firefighter 1 and 2. Good luck. I did it. I was.
Thank you so much.
So, that's all I got.
Thank you.
Did you get a chance
to
Lee, did you get a chance to meet meet John L. down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked because I asked him what I heard he was going through Firefighter 1 and doing other things. I talked to him just a little bit, met him, and so, yeah.
You know, the first thing I got from John L. when we were down there, we shook hands, and he smiled at me, and he said hello, and he was very polite and very respectful and just down to earth. And my first reaction was, oh, he's definitely a white supremacist.
Yeah, yeah. That was mine. And I thought he was a plant. He was really from the hood. Going to hit us over the head when I walked away, so I didn't know, you know.
Yeah. Hey Lee, thanks for calling in and talking. We always appreciate that, brother. And I'm going to get to the next caller. You have a good night, my man.
You too.
All right, everybody. That was Lee Schmidt, Lee and Lisa Schmidt. You can follow them on Facebook, Trekking Across America with the Schmidts. and that's S-C-H-M-I-T-T-S. They were having like 80,000 views on their live feeds while they were going through the convoy into D.C. And I do see we have another caller. Let me just bring him on. I don't know who this is, but 0453. If you're listening, if your last four digits is 0453, I'm going to add you onto the air now, and I'll let you know when we got you on, and you can talk. And who do we have on the air tonight?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who is this?
Wonderful. Hi, my name is Eric Wyan. I actually am a resident of San Diego County, so pretty close to John L's, where everything was happening, and I just actually recently witnessed him on TikTok, and this is the first time that I've wanted to reach out to anybody. It made that much of an impact. I'm 36 years old. I was born and raised in a very respectful environment, and didn't matter what political side or what you voted for, my mentality was all humans should be treated equal, and I think the way you handled it was exceptional. And I actually had a question as far as the information that we learn, the routes that we take to learn what's really going on and the truth nowadays. It's mostly through social media and the news, unfortunately, and a lot of the rich lies have taken that over. I know it used to be all on radio, and so other than some independent artists that I've been listening to recently and following, as well as this is my first radio experience, I wanted to know how else I can softly approach, not just for myself, but other people to slowly hear the truth and get back to where we used to be, you know, 20 years ago when you didn't have to fear what was true.
John L., why don't you go ahead and start off, and I'll finish it up when you're done.
Well, that's a tough one for me because I haven't been around for 20 years.
That's fair.
What was that?
I apologize. I said that's fair.
Yeah, no, you're good. But I can tell you is how I was raised, and my parents have been around way longer than I have been. And I remember growing up with my dad, we watched for about 30 minutes to an hour, we watched CNN. And then the next thing you know, we're watching Tucker. Now, age 8, 10 years old, you don't know politics. You just see what's on TV, right? But what my dad was doing was being open-minded. That's what you call it. You know, he was learning from both sides of the parties, both sides of the business, where I didn't know that, but he did. But the fact that I can visualize that and now use that to this day, even though he was way older than me, I feel like the best advice is just to be open-minded. Try to have some discussions with people that don't see eye to eye with you and try to, you know, just have a civilized conversation. You know what I do? Like when I'm talking to somebody who we have nothing in common with politically, I just nod my head like, yeah, I totally understand and respect that. And that's what keeps the conversation going. And that's where next thing you know, you're telling them your side, and now you have a good conversation going. And once you start doing that with people, you start to make it more comfortable with yourself, where you can start to have other conversations with other people. And then that's when, you know, you start being comfortable and other people start being comfortable with you. You can start to let the truth into their ears be, you know, heard. That's just one way, if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That totally makes sense. I've attempted it on some point. I have one part of my family, a very small part, that is opposite political side than the rest of our family. And I find myself whenever I'm talking to them, I'm fully aware and respectful and listening to them. And when I attempt to counter or show my side, it's generally met with a lot of stigma and negative remarks, and it's more so, I think that the impact that the social media and the news has put on half of our country, that maybe even more than that, probably 80%, because reality is it's both sides. It's the stigma that you can't reason with the other side. And that's the thing that we have to overcome, is that that's how anybody progresses through life, is by reasoning with each other and listening and having honest, open communication, because it's okay to disagree, but, you know, it's not okay to just ignore, you know.
Right. Yep. No, you're exactly right. And I'm going to – let me follow up with what Janelle said. I was – and I've said this before on this radio show, and it shocks people when I tell them that, because – like, now I'm a patriot. Like, I mean, I've always been a patriot, but I believed the narrative. I believed mainstream media. I believed what I was being told. I believed that our government had our best interests in mind. I was one of those, as people would call them, a fallen line sheep. And when we say sheep, it's not meant as a derogatory term, even though it's taken that way, because nobody wants to feel or feel like they are the sheep. I was a sheep, and I'll fully admit that. I voted Democrat my whole life. Last election, I did not vote. I did not vote for anybody. Not the last one, the one before that. This last election is what got me off my chair, because I knew they were lying about Trump, and I went out and voted. And when I voted, surprisingly enough, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I voted for a third party, because I'm tired of the two-party system. Because it took me the last two years since 2020, year and a half, of watching the media, watching the lies that and I could prove these lies through my own research. And what sucks about this is people are so busy with their daily lives, they don't have time to sit down for 2-3 hours a night to do their research. They got families, they have children, they have soccer practice, whatever they got. The politicians and the deep state, if you want to call them that, whatever you want to call them, they have created this system, and they knew what they were doing. It's all manipulation. It's all propaganda. We'll make them so busy they don't have time to pay attention. They don't have time to pay attention, so much so that just a few nights ago, they passed a $1.5 trillion budget bill in the middle of the night that they had had 2,742 pages that they had had for 11 hours to review, and they passed it. How the hell do you pass a bill that's 2,742 pages in 11 hours? But they did. Oh, $14.5 billion went to the Ukraine. For what? We don't even know what the hell is going on in Ukraine. All we know is what the media is telling us. I'm going to tell you something. Here's where you start. Instead of watching your local news at night, when you're scrolling through Facebook or Twitter or whatever platform you're on, and you come across a news source, it says Russia bombs Ukraine and there's 23 people dead. Go to DuckDuckGo or some off platform other than Google, and research that topic that sparked a trigger in your head that I wonder if they're telling me the truth. Go research it for yourself. And don't read one article. Don't read two articles. Read all of the articles. It might take you an hour a night. It might take you two. My prime example is MENA, Arkansas, M-E-N-A, MENA, Arkansas. What happened back in the 80s involving two teenagers that were – they say were brutally beaten by cops and then thrown on the railroad tracks and then ran over by a train. And obviously you know what happens to a body when they get run over by a train. They're mutilated. They figured nothing's going to happen. But you need to research that for yourself. There's so many stories out there. And, I mean, there's a list of government operations a mile long. Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, those are just two examples of hundreds of where our government has done things against the United States people that are completely and utterly covered up by the mainstream media. The mainstream media is not here to put out the truth. They are there to protect the lies. That is the fact. And if people want to try to discredit me over that, I welcome them, because I know way more and I've researched way more than anybody else. And you know why I have, and I'm not bragging. It's because I'm a truck driver. Oh, you're just a dumb truck driver. No, I'm a truck driver that doesn't want to play video games when he gets done with his day. I'm a truck driver that wants to sit in the cab of his truck and literally research things for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. There's nights I've been up till 3 a.m. looking at stuff, researching stuff, observing stuff. The lies that are being spewed by our own media, especially today, and by our government, and has been for decades, it makes me sick to my stomach. And when you find out the truth, I had a nervous breakdown when I found out the truth. I literally had a nervous breakdown. And then I realized that everything that we see on TV, everything that we're being told, everything that the mainstream media projects onto us, most everything, I should say, is nothing but a freaking Hollywood movie set where they got green screen in the background and they got reporters acting like they're in Ukraine and, oh, my God, we're getting bombed, and they got sound effects. It's a freaking Hollywood movie set. It literally is a Hollywood movie set. Now, I'll direct you guys, and I've said this to a million times before. There's an act. It's called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act that they resmitted. Under Obama in 2012, there was a Smith-Mundt Act that happened in World War II to prevent mainstream media from taking state-sponsored lies and spreading that propaganda over mainstream media. That was rescinded in 2012, and that act is called the Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, Modernization Act. You go read that up, and it'll explain everything that has been happening since 2012 to a T. Now you start researching a bunch of other stuff before that and what their plans are. Go look up the World Economic Forum. Go look up what Klaus Schwab's plans are. Look where the money goes with him. Look up Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and what they've actually been involved financing. Your mind will be literally blown. When I found out all this shit, like I said, I literally had a nervous breakdown. Because I could never in my life imagine that I lived in a world so full of evil. And truly, we live in evil. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the phone with people that care, that want to spread the truth. We're not here to hurt you. We're here to tell a story. We're here to spread the truth. And John L., in my opinion, an 18-year-old man that sees what's going on. And on that note, John L., I'll give you a chance to respond to that, and then our caller, after John L., you're welcome to respond to that also.
Yeah. The proper term for all of this is called yellow journalism. That's all this is. That people don't use that term no more, but that is exactly what it is. And I remember one day a lady who was like really far left, she's like, do you even know, because at this time we're just supporting law enforcement, and she's like, do your research. And I was like, you know what, she has a point, let me do my research. So at this time, I hated Donald Trump. I hated, the NRA. And I was like, let me do my research. So I did my research. I started watching his, rallies live, because, they wouldn't show it. They only show clips and show, like, Donald Trump said this at his rally, white supremacists, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, that can't be true. So I started watching everything live myself. I started watching all of this stuff live myself. So pretty much I think, long story short, we're just trying to say, just get in depth with it and just get both sides of the story and just really, 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 really just educate yourself, pretty much. I think that's what we're just trying to say at the end of the day.
Okay.
So I wanted to say that I guess from my perspective, for me personally, I think I understand myself how to do it. Like I said, I'm 36 years old and I went to college for 10 years. I learned how to research, you know, through scholarly articles and both sides of it. For me, I guess the concern was more so spreading that knowledge or ability to find the truth for themselves, because let's be honest, no one's going to know the truth by somebody telling them. They have to figure it out themselves. And it's interesting because something that he said earlier. So my family was Republican all the way. We are actually a Mormon LDS family. And I recall, you know, voting for Mitt Romney when he ran against Obama. And it's interesting how both sides, there's so many lies that it's not even until now, you know, 2022, 2021, last couple of years, I started paying attention to the fact that how even someone like that just completely changes their views. And I thought this person, you know, I had a religious connection to this man and he said and did the things that I, you know, felt strongly to believe. And it's amazing how money and power can just change humans. And I think the thing is that we need to not believe in people. We need not believe in like individuals, but believe in like the collective of everybody. I'm glad you pointed out the Smith-Mund Modernization Act. I'm absolutely going to be researching that. I was not aware of that. I did know and did pay attention to how all the companies in social media started getting bought up right during that time, or like just before it, during the Obama campaign and administration. And so I was aware that something was iffy, but I wasn't fully aware until Trump was in office. And I guess for me, it's without pushing people to, you know, go get school and go to get an education. It's how do I, my biggest thing is reaching other people. You know, I firmly believe that can find the truth myself. It's how do I touch other people? Because let's be honest, Janelle, your story is amazing and it's one truth in a million lies. You know, there's a million of their lives have the exact same story, but the opposite side. And it's like, I believe you. I know it's all the truth. I can absolutely see it. But when 1,000 people tell you, you know, we're all telling the truth and you're a liar, the majority of people are going to go, oh, it's some 18-year-old black kid, pardon my, you know, my language, who doesn't know what he's talking about, who just disrespects, you know, these people. So... which we all know.
But you're exactly right, because I explained that earlier, you know, with John L. When we get to a certain level of people that follow us and notice what our message is, we have, okay, for example, my TikTok, before I got banned my first time, I had over like 150,000 followers between my three accounts. And I would notice 300 positive comments, and I appreciated every single one of them, every one of them. But then I'd get to that one negative one, and it would fester with me, and it would burn my ass. And guess what would happen? I would let that negativity get to me so much that I would react with negativity. And that's what's happening again now. And I'm trying to limit that as much as I can while I try to stop the discrediting of the People's Convoy. Because the people that have been kicked out are now on TikTok that have followers that I still don't understand how, but they do, and they believe them to be, like, for some reason, oh, yep, they're the truth. Because I seen a video, they were there. Yeah, they were there, but they're not telling you why they got kicked out. They're not telling you what problems they created or caused or things that they said while they were there. They're not taking responsibility for their own actions. And we're seeing that all over. And there's numerous people that I've been involved with for literally years that are trying to discredit this too, because their ass hurt because they're not getting credit for something that they feel they should get credit for. they don't even realize that this movement is way bigger than any of us, which is why I swallowed my pride and I drove my ass down to Hagerstown and joined the convoy, in just west of Dayton, Ohio. But before I go on, because I get off in rants, by the way, if you haven't noticed, but Chris, I want to keep the caller on. Chris, do you want to join in and share your thoughts on where you find your truth and have that conversation with us?
All right. This is actually kind of funny, and it kind of ages me a little bit. Believe it or not, I kind of got started with some of it when I was in college, and I learned that I could go to the library and I could get the congressional record, okay? And I could actually, like, read the transcripts of debates that were happening on the congressional floor. And I kind of got into that. And then I noticed, like, okay, now I'm watching the nightly news, and they're giving a quote of something that somebody said or showing a snippet of them saying it. But I'm like, wait, like, okay, like, I read that, you know, like, it's completely out of context. But I went from there to C-SPAN. I watched a lot of C-SPAN because I was just kind of trying to figure my world out. And that time I was, you know, right around Janelle's age. But I would start to watch C-SPAN. I would listen to these representatives and these senators getting up and speaking their piece, you know, on these different issues that were being brought up, you know, proposed legislation, whatever. And it was the same thing. Then I would watch the nightly news that night, and I would see someone take an 8-second soundbite of what someone said, but they would take it completely out of context to make it, they would give it the appearance that they were going a completely different direction with what they were saying than what they really were. And that's kind of when I started figuring out the manipulation, you know, that the media would do. And that's probably, I know C-SPAN is still out there. That's one good way to do that little experiment for yourself. Watch a floor debate on some hot topic that's going on right now, and then listen to MSNBC or CNN and watch how they frame whatever soundbite they choose to run with or what someone says, you know. Watch an entire episode of Tucker Carlson and then listen to how CNN frames a small soundbite of what Tucker said. That's one of the ways, and that's kind of what got me into things. Then there's a lot of background stuff, too. I was in the military, and I read a lot of military resource books. I read a lot of military nonfiction and was in the military myself and got kind of a working view of kind of how the government, especially the military, worked. And I got to experience things firsthand in the military to really know what was going on. And then I would see how the media reported it. Again, you know, big difference between what was really happening versus the media version. And over time, you start to realize that what the media is doing, and Jeremy kind of nailed it, it's like they're producing. It's a production. It's like a Hollywood production. And there's like all these people that live in this delusional world of make-believe where the media just kind of crafts together this vision of the world that's not real. And the problem is people believe it, and they don't realize that they're being shown a fictional movie. And the fictional movie is, of course, designed to maximize profits for the media as well as support an agenda that I don't know if they've been ordered to support that agenda or whatever. But at the end of the day, you have to find some politically neutral source of information to compare what you're being told to. With COVID, before the lockdowns even started, as soon as the media hysteria began about this massively bad, you know, virus that was going around and it's going to kill everybody. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, okay, I've heard this before, you know, Zika, swine flu, Ebola, you know, on and on and on and on. You know, every year there's some big thing that's going to kill all of us. And so I didn't fall for the media frenzy, but I went and I started looking at the CDC numbers for myself on the CDC's website. And I looked at all the numbers. I started doing my own kind of analysis of what was going on in this country, what was going on in that country, what's the percentage of the population being affected, what is the mortality rate based on the numbers they're reporting. And again, doing that, what did I find? Well, when the media started giving their death tolls, I immediately zeroed in on the fact that, well, they're not telling the whole story. They're throwing some numbers out there, but they're not telling the whole story. They're cherry-picking data, and they're really inflating, you know, the death toll numbers and giving a very misleading idea. And I'm not going to get into that because that horse has been beat to death at this point. But one example would be a media report that said two people died of COVID in this one county, rural county. And they said that, you know, one of them was a 37-year-old man with no prior health issues in his history. Well, of course, that scares the hell out of you, because what you just heard is that a 37-year-old, otherwise healthy guy just got taken out by this virus. You do a little bit of digging. The 37-year-old actually died of a heroin overdose and also post-mortem tested positive for COVID. And so he automatically became a 37-year-old with no previous health history that died of COVID. So it wasn't the COVID that got him. It was the heroin or the fentanyl, whichever one it was. And then you also found out that the other guy, who they didn't really expound upon, he was 97 years old. You know, and so there was really a non-story there. So that's just one example. But, yeah, you've got to find a politically neutral source of data.
Chris, what about now that the media, you know, they were very quick to talk about the deaths from COVID, but are eerily silenced, eerily quiet about the 37-year-old man that goes to the gym every single day and drops over with a frickin' heart attack after he's been vaccinated two times or three times? Nothing is being said. And when you say anything about it, you're labeled a QAnon conspiracy theorist or spreading disinformation or misinformation, which are two
right.
words that we didn't even hear before this whole COVID, and which is why I got kicked off of Facebook permanently and TikTok five times, because I spread the truth. And I tell them what I hear. These are stories out of people's mouths that I have actual phone calls with. They're not lying to me. They're telling me what's happening to their friends, their family, their moms, their dads, their children. These people, I hope, sooner or later, will pay for this. But we need to find somebody that's influential and has the power enough to stop them. And the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and the cronies he's got behind him, I'll explain it this way. I was on a conference call, or not a conference call, a Zoom call, I apologize, with some world-renowned doctors here about a month and a half ago, somewhere around there. One of those guys happened to be Dr. Robert Malone. And I'll tell you what, being on a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone, I'm like, how the hell did I go from being a truck driver to being on a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone? But one of those doctors in that Zoom call said 800,000 people that died from this COVID, they said died from COVID, they died with COVID. They didn't die from COVID. They were murdered because they weren't given the proper treatment. That is a fact. And now when I share out my link on Twitter, there's a warning that I'm spreading misinformation. So that should tell you everything you need to know. The big tech knows who I am, and the fact that big tech knows who I am tells me that
it's
the government
dangerous.
Has a large hand in big tech. So, yeah, just for the conversation's sake. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm an expert at anything, because I'm not. I don't claim to know it all, because I have a lot to learn. But what I do know is the tip of the iceberg of how corrupt our government is, our CIA, our FBI. Every government agency has been weaponized against either our people or other governments for a very long time in order to further a political agenda. And it's happened for a very long time, way before JFK was killed. And JFK, I don't have all the facts on that because 5,000 pages weren't released. And Donald Trump said, I'm not releasing the last 5,000 pages because it could be detrimental to our society, which basically means the truth in there says that the U.S. government was involved in the assassination of JFK. And that was probably because he wanted to get rid of the central banking system. And truth have it, George Bush Sr. was head of the CIA at the time, or up in the upper echelon of the CIA. And in an interview that he did in the early 90s, I believe, said that if the American public knew what we are responsible for, we'd all be hanging from nooses. That was straight out of his mouth. So that's how long this has been going on. It's been going on a lot longer than it has George Bush Sr. So I'm just going to give our caller one final chance to say whatever you want to say, and then I'm going to move on to John L. to finish out this radio show. And, yeah, we'll go from there. So, caller, you are welcome to weigh in on everything that we've talked about. And I'm not worried about the time. We got an hour and 8 minutes left if we need it. So speak your mind, my friend.
Well, first of all, I much appreciate the time that you've given me. This is my first time, like I said, and it's been nerve-wracking at first to even speak my mind live, you know, just the thoughts I've been having constantly in conversations with the close people I have. So it's good to be able to reach out to people across, you know, the nation who, you know, in real time feel the same way and understand, you know, that we're all going through the same thing. I did want to actually just get, if it was okay, your Twitter information. You know, I got a cross-reference, of course, all of your misinformation that you, apparently you are spreading, as well as I actually found – I was watching – I got off work scrolling through TikTok, you know, a couple hours ago and saw Jonelle was live, and you know, 'cause I just started following him a few days ago after I saw the video for the first time, and right before it got canceled, right before you said the number, and I wrote it down with a hope and prayer going like, oh, maybe I could just listen, and I didn't think I'd actually be a part of it. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and I would like to continue to follow everyone in this conversation and continue to learn and kind of progress through this. And then actually, Jonelle, I actually don't know where, or if you are even, if you were selling those sweatshirts somewhere, I would like to be a part of purchasing and supporting you as well. So if I could just get information somehow, and again, thank you guys for your time.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's real beautiful right there. Touch my heart, because I was in Elisha and I was like, you guys call right now. And that's pretty cool to hear that somebody actually did. The sweatshirts, another story. Thanks for the support, man. Like, thank you so much for, you know, the support. That's a big deal for me. And I try to tell everybody, as many people as I can, on how grateful I am for the American people that are standing by my side and supporting. So the hoodies, just signed a contract today with a company. It's in my hand right now, where we're going to start producing these hoodies and other hoodies and less, let's just say less, quote unquote, threatening words. So people that do support the cause, but that doesn't want to have the word on their chest, you know, we're going to blur it out with the American flag over it. So I got a few ideas coming up, and within the next week or so, we will have a website. I will have the website in my link in my bio on TikTok and Instagram, and try to get it out there to where you guys can start purchasing the hoodies. And the sooner we can get this going, the sooner I can get back to Hagerstown and meet up with everybody.
That's fantastic, man. I'm glad to hear that. Caller, I'm gonna drop you off to just so you're listening. We do appreciate you getting on here, and your respectfulness, and you're asking us serious questions. You can follow the Disrespected Trucker on Twitter, Getter, and YouTube. I share out all the links every week for our radio show. You can also follow the Disrespected Trucker radio show on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but Chris is, and he shares out the link on there. He does a fantastic job handling that page. So there are places you can follow us, and we appreciate your phone call, and thank you for joining us tonight and just getting a really good conversation going. What I want to get to real quick is, John L., I'm going to put you on the spot for 1 second. Are you ready for this? How would you how would you feel about being a guest host on the Disrespected Trucker radio show?
Oh wow, that would be pretty cool. I mean, to be a host of a radio show, technically, right?
Yeah, you would be me, you and Chris. It's every Thursday. Your time would be 5 to 7. Our time is 7 to 9. Eastern time is 8 to 10. We would like to have you come on and be a guest co-host with us, and I'll tell you why. Number one, you're 18 years old. You are way younger than us. You give a perspective from the younger crowd. Number two, you are from California, from the West Coast. I'm from Minnesota. Chris is from Illinois. It's another piece of the country that we don't have a voice from. Number three, and again, I don't want to make it about race, but I'm going to say it. You're a young black man that has you have an opinion and you have thoughts, and you bring a certain aspect to the conversation that I think needs to be heard. As a young black man, and I think that's a good thing. It really is. You come from, you said Wyoming, right? And
my sixth generation ago, Wyoming. Yeah.
I think you bring a perspective that would add to the show, and I know I'm for one, and I'll let Chris second this motion, but I'll vote if you're willing to join us to be a guest co-host with me and Chris. Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I like Wyoming. I've driven through there quite a bit. Beautiful country out there. And I lived in Texas myself for several years. Handful of times went out and even rode bulls when I was much younger and dumber and also much lighter on the scale than I am now. It wouldn't be much of a bull ride now. I don't even think they could buck with my fat ass sitting on them. But yeah, you know what? It's a young perspective. It brings in a demographic. I mean, West Coast, young, minority, and you know, who wants to listen to just two middle-aged white guys from the Midwest ramble on all the time? So I think it definitely would add a nice touch to the show to have some of that different perspective.
Yeah, so Janelle, tomorrow I will give you a call after we get off the air tonight. I'll let you go and have some peace. Tomorrow I will get a hold of you, and we will talk what things we need to hammer down. Obviously, it's we're not sponsored. We're not we don't get paid. We do this to spread truth and to spread the message. And I think you would be a very welcome addition to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and it makes our radio show show more diverse, and but with the same message, the truth. And I would be extremely happy if you would accept that invitation. And if you didn't want to do it every week, that would be fine with us. If you wanted to do it once a week or with us every week, or if you want to do it once a month or every other show, whatever you wanted to do. I don't want to put any pressure on you. I'm just putting that that offer out there because I think your voice needs to be heard. And since I was given this platform along with Chris from Unplugged Radio, I only feel it my duty and my obligation to offer you the same platform to get your voice heard too. And I'm honestly, I could probably talk to Unplugged Radio and get you your own platform if you wanted to. Otherwise, you are welcome to come on here as a guest host.
Well, you know, that's how Larry Elder started.
Well, buckle up, my friend. You're about to hit the big time because the more your voice gets out there, the more people that hear your message, the more they're going to relate to you because they already have. And I've watched it with my own two eyes and I've seen it. You have a gift. And like we said earlier in the show, God puts you on this earth for a reason. And whatever I can do to help catapult you to where you need to be and help you spread the word that God wants you to spread and the word that you want to spread, I will do my part in promoting you wherever I go. And I'm almost positive if you wanted your own show, you can. I can make that happen probably for you. If you want to get on with us for be a co-host for a while, to, you know, kind of spread your wings a little bit and get used to it, you can do that. I'm giving you, I'm not giving you, I'm asking you kindly if you want to do that. And if you do, I would welcome you with open arms, my friend, and I would love to have you on here for, you know, every Thursday night with us to, as we talk about just normal things and we talk about everyday life and what happens in the country. I think you would be a welcome voice from our by our listeners, and like I said, if it morphs into where you have your own show, I welcome that too. So that is completely up to you, Janelle, and like I said, I'll call you tomorrow and we can discuss that if you're interested.
Oh, I'm interested. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. That's cool, man. I will call you tomorrow, and I don't want to take up any more of your time tonight because we've been on the phone with you for 2 hours, and I know you got other
fun.
Things you got to do. Man, it's been spectacular. My mom actually texted me halfway through our interview, and she's like, "This is the most awesome interview ever." And I couldn't agree with her more. You brought a different aura about our show. You brought a different perspective, but the same perspective in some ways. You shared your story, and that's what it's all about, is sharing our stories and sharing the truth, letting the American people know what really is going on. And I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight, John Allen. I look forward to our conversation tomorrow, and I look forward to what the future holds for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and more importantly, I look forward to what the future holds for Mr. John L. And I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'll cheer you on from every angle, brother.
Thank you so much. I haven't sit there and sunk in all those words right there. It's touching, you know. This 3 years, or excuse me, just what was it, about 3 weeks ago, I'm in the bed of my friend's pickup truck just going around town, just goofing off, you know. Now I'm here in the United States standing for our freedoms and trying to make a change here so we can keep enjoying our freedoms that we do quite enjoy.
Yeah, and you fit right in, my friend. I mean, you're the real deal. And I, for one, appreciate you as an 18-year-old man standing up and standing up for what you believe is right and doing what you did. You made sacrifices to get across country. And, you know, Mike and Brian and whoever was involved in the decision for you to go into that meeting with Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson obviously made the 120% right decision. And, again, I can't thank you enough for your voice, John L. I'm 44 years old. I can't do this for the rest of my life. But guess what? You can follow close behind in all of our footsteps. We need the young voices. We need those people to stand up. And we need to start changing this society together. Middle-aged, old people, I call them the old people, the elderly, whatever you want to call them, and young voices. We need all of us to work together and fight back against the propaganda that has divided this country so bad. And again, John L., thank you so much for joining the show tonight.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the beautiful, kind words. And thanks to everybody who's been listening and supporting me. So thanks.
All right, brother. Hey, I appreciate you again, and I'll give you a call tomorrow, okay?
Yes, sir. I'll be waiting for you.
All right, thanks, man. You have a great night.
Thank you all so much.
All right, everybody. That was John L. We've had him on here for a little over 2 hours. And I don't want to keep a guest on here for as long as I did because I don't want to beat a dead horse. But there was no dead horse tonight. That live horse needed a little bit of a tackling and a little bit of tapping, and his message was spectacular. And me and Chris are excited. I was texting Chris throughout this interview, asking him, what do you think about adding John L. on? And honestly, seriously, I think that's what we need. Don't you think, Chris? I think adding that third voice, coming from an 18-year-old from California, with the experiences that he just had through the People's Convoy. And it sucks that I have to say it this way. I hate it, okay? I despise having to say it this way, but having a young black man on here with us, I don't want to mention his skin color because, honestly, it doesn't fucking matter. He's a human being. But that's what the media has done to us. They've divided us into skin colors. They divided us into political sides. It's not like that. We don't need it to be like that. And it's sad that I even have to say that, a young black man. I don't want to say young black man. I want to say young 18-year-old. And I'm going to, honestly, I think that's the last time I'm going to say it. From now on, John L. is going to be introduced as John L., my 18-year-old friend from California, when he gets on here with us, because he deserves that. He doesn't deserve to be labeled as a young black man. He deserves to be labeled as an 18-year-old man from California standing up for his rights. And you people that keep on trying to divide us through race are sick individuals. You need help. Chris, what's your final thoughts, my buddy?
I'm just going to refer to him as that Wyoming cowboy. No, I'm excited about it. I think this will definitely think it will just add to the show. I think it'll make it better. And you know, having a third voice in here is you know, bound to improve our, I think, our entertainment level to our audience and round out a lot of perspectives. And you know, I think the bigger perspective is his age versus our age, because I think it's, you know, we've definitely hit that point where there's a generation gap. We haven't really had a generation gap in this country for quite a long time. You know, our lives weren't incredibly different from that of our parents if you're in our age group. you know, we kind of still had a lot of things that we shared in common. But we've hit a point now where, you know, the people that grew up playing sandlot baseball and riding bicycles and playing hide and go seek or tag or kick the can, you know, at night, you know, the people that did that for entertainment all growing up, like we're the old people now, because there was a transition there where all of a sudden now we have the people who grew up playing on smartphones and tablets and playing Nintendo baseball instead of you know, sandlot baseball. And, you know, I've raised several kids, and I raised kids that, you know, my oldest, he grew up riding his bicycle and climbing trees and going fishing and doing all those things for entertainment, you know, where my youngest children, they grew up in the smartphone tablet era and the whole don't go outside, it's a dangerous world, and stay here in the house where it's nice and safe and play these computer games. And there's a definite difference between those two generations. And
yeah,
so there's a big lack of understanding between guys in our age group and the younger ones that grew up on that grew up on the smart technology. And to have somebody like Janelle that can kind of bridge that gap, you know, because it's like, okay, he's young and savvy, you know, he's tech savvy, he's got all these TikTok followers and everything, and he's already kind of mastering that whole thing. But it's like, at the same time, you know, from what he's saying, you know, he lived on a ranch in Wyoming. He has that outdoors. He has that kind of he can relate to us in a lot of ways, and we can relate to him. But at the same time, he does bring in that youthful perspective. And I think it's going to be a great thing. I really do. And that excites me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I don't know, about an hour into the conversation, I'm like, you know, it'd be dumb for us not to invite him on, however long he wants to do it, or, I mean, when he feels comfortable and he think he can do his own radio show or broadcast, and I can, you know, help him get that going. I think that it only adds to the Unplugged Radio Network, and I think it would be fantastic. He's a young, bright man that I'm just impressed with the guy. And there's some people that don't agree with him, and that's fine. There's a lot of people that hate me just because of me, and I don't care. But it is what it is. So I'll call Jamel tomorrow and Chris, would you like to be on that call when I call Janelle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a call after we end this broadcast here. But before we go, I just want to thank all of you listeners. And the caller I see is still listening from San Diego. Thank you. We appreciate you, the way you got on here and handled yourself. You're just being honest and respectful, and you didn't say anything I disagreed with, which is neither here nor there. You're welcome to call in every week if you want. We have regular callers. Usually we have regular callers that we add in, and you're welcome to be one of those people. And if you have something to add, you're welcome to join in the conversation. If not, you can stay listening, and that's okay too. All I ask from all of you is that since I get banned on social media everywhere, it's hard for me to share out what we're doing. And if you follow me on Twitter or Getter or YouTube, The Disrespected Trucker, I share links to our radio show quite often, or you can follow on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but Chris is, and that's called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We have a group and a page set up there. Well, we don't. Chris does. I'm not on there. But the links get shared out there also. And if you guys would be kind enough to share out those links to your social media platforms to help us grow and to get the truth out there, it would be phenomenal, and we would surely appreciate it. So on that note, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, listening to our broadcast, and those of you that have joined the live chat, we love you and we appreciate you also. And please continue to do so and share us out wherever you can. It's only going to get bigger, and we'll continue to speak the truth from the heart. So on that note, you guys all have a great night. Have a blessed night. God bless each and every one of you. And we'll see you next Thursday night at 7 p.m. on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Unplugged Radio. Good night.